Beloved Mstislav, for that beautiful question and answer session. And we want the parents to be encouraging their children to have Hadhrat Mstislav at the helm of this program. Lots of valuable information. It's in fact a great honor for your children to excel, inshallah, live on Markaz Sahaba, a platform where you can speak your heart out. So parents, please get your children involved, inshallah. They must be 9 years and below, inshallah, and encourage them to take part in this program. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you once again. Inshallah, we have some interesting questions. Inshallah, I'm ready to fire up if you are ready to answer, Mustafa.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ever ready, inshallah, Mawlana Barakallahu Feekum. We welcome all the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Gee.
Can Muslims go to non-Muslim dentist while fasting to extract their teeth?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Here there are three issues. Number one is this. We will suggest to everybody who is a Muslim and you are fasting that all these type of appointments, if it is not matter of life and death or something, an emergency, then postpone it and defer it to after Ramadan Mubarak. Or today you have 24-hour clinics, 24-hour doctors, a whole team, panel of doctors. So you can go nighttime there. But if it is such an emergency, you have to go daytime and so forth. Then remember that we will suggest that the male must go to the male, female must go to the female, whether it's a Muslim dentist or non-Muslim dentist, but that is what we should take cognizance of. So that's one issue. Second issue is when you go to the dentist to extract your tooth or your teeth. You know this president of Israel, the rogue regime, his name Ketzef. And he was put into jail. So why I remember his name? I was a very, very young boy. And in my hometown, Heidelberg, there was a doctor, a jutla, Ketzef. And my, you know, we children, we eat so much sweets and what have you, chocolates and that. And I was crying that day. So my father, mother, they knew that this guy, now he won't stick it. He took me to the dentist. Got nothing to do with fasting. So they took me to Dr. Ketzef. I remember this guy's name. He extracted three teeth of mine, you know, one shot, one after the other. So still now I got a gap there. So you must remember this. So that is what he did, you know. That's why I remember this harami's name, Ketzef. They put him in jail. He couldn't look after his own rifle and so forth. So remember, Muslim, Muslimah, if you are fasting, then you go to the dentist, 90%, 99% something will go down, that the blood will go down, or the water, or the medication and something. So once something goes down your throat, remember your fast will be broken, and one qaza will be compulsory.
Sir, is my father's second wife's son regarded as my biological brother? Can I marry him? We are not from the same mother.
Okay, let's get the scenario first clear. So you have your father, your mother passed away, or maybe she's alive, I don't know. So thereafter, your father took a second wife, and then she came with her son from her previous marriage. So you are the daughter from your father, and she came with her son. So her son and you must remember that y'all are ajnabi, y'all are strangers to one another, because his parents are totally different. And your parents are totally different. So remember that you, the daughter, and they're the son of this lady who your father got married to, you can marry one another. So therefore, hijab, parda, all that will be compulsory upon you. And you can't be chatting, sitting and just, you know, making gupshup and chit-chatting and so forth, socializing with one another. So that would not be permissible because you are total strangers to one another. And therefore, you can marry also. Maybe you should get married and get married now in Ramadan. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, her honorable nikah took place, if in this month of Ramadan, in the second year of the Hijrah, after the Battle of Badr, and if you want reference of this, open Musannaf Abdul Razak, and Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the nikah himself. So therefore, we need to understand our deen. But remember, daytime, no hanky-panky business. Leave all the gymnastics and all that for the night, inshallah.
Stop the smoking, break the fast, as we are not eating anything.
Remember that you are smoking, and some things are definitely going through inside your body, and that's through your mouth and so forth. Therefore, you go ask the doctors, they'll tell you how much you are harming your body internally and your lungs and what have you. So whether it is your smoking cigarettes or cigar or vaping and whatever else, all haram also. To buy it and sell it also haram, to smoke it also haram, and definitely there's ijma and consensus, it will break the fast. It's considered khabis, it's considered impure. It's not what we will call halalan tayyiba, that which is lawful and that which is wholesome. So therefore, you know, if the food is halalan tayyiba, then in the masjid while you are in etikaf, people already sitting in etikaf, the voluntary nafil etikaf, then the last 10 days will come the sunnat etikaf. So people will eat samosas, drink tea, do this, but nobody will have a cigarette inside the masjid. They'll go hide there in the toilet and what have you, because deep down they also know that this cigarette is not something permissible, therefore they will not want to do so. So on a Wednesday night, I came out from the masjid. So this youngster saw me. So I know him. So he tried to hide from me. So normally he'll make salam with two hands. But in his one hand, he had the skaif. He had the cigarette, you see. So he's hiding it. So I want to tell him, watch out, just now you'll burn yourself, you know. But I just kept quiet. So he made salam with one hand. So I just gave him a wry smile, you know. So I just kept quiet. So he tried to show, now I'm respecting you. But he was caught red-handed. So imagine now, people come and they smoke, they come in the masjid, it's a terrible smell and odor, you know. So therefore we should abstain from it. Bad, evil habit.
Mufti Sahab, if I don't make intention of fasting during Ramadan, but keep my fast, is my fast still valid?
Intention does not mean you have to say it verbally and orally and so forth. When you woke up for suhoor, or you slept at night, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whatever time, and you said, I will wake up 3 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock. So for my pre-dawn meal, what we call suhoor, and ni'ma suhoorul mu'mini at-tamr, the best suhoor, the best sehri, the best pre-dawn meal is dates, the hadith in Abu Dawood and Mishkat Sharif. So that is intention itself. So remember, all your fast will be valid. There's no such thing in fasting, we must go. Now we must go there by the calendar and we must read, Bisawmi ghadin nawaitu, Allahumma inni asumu laka ghadan, and so forth. There's no such thing in Islam. It's not sunnah that or anything. It is permissible, but it's not sunnah. And if a person just made intention of suhoor and of sehri and so forth, so that will suffice and your fast is valid. No problem, brother, sister.
My child is schizophrenic, so if his fast breaks, does he have to make qaza of his fast after Ramadan?
So let us understand these issues properly, right? Okay, before I go to that, because I forgot actually, so before I went for prayer and Fajr Salat and so forth, I try and give you new things so it will enlighten you, and then I'll come back to the question. Our Ramadan diary, we're calling it Ramadan diary. Today is the 4th of Ramadan. This incident took place on the 4th of Ramadan in the first year of the Hijrah. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara. So they were settling down and so forth. This all happened in Rabiul Awwal and when it. Thereafter, remember that now Ramadan came. And you know, there was trade going on between the people of Makkah. They would go to Syria, but they would pass Medina Munawwara and route Medina. So Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called his chacha, his kaka, his am, his paternal uncle, his pasabrur, and Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and gave him the honor. Ya am, O uncle of mine, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu and take this white flag, and you are the Amir, you will be the leader. And 30 Muhajireen were under his command, 30 migrants were under his command of Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu on the 4th of Ramadan in the first year of the Hijrah. And the caravan of Abu Jahl is returning from Syria, you must try and intercept them. And then, because they are the ones who tortured us, persecuted us, stole everything of ours and so forth, so we have the right to intercept. But no combat, nothing took place, but it's important for us to know who was the first person to receive the flag after the Hijrah. It was Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu an. He is Sayyidu Shuhada, the greatest martyr in Islam for all times and all places. The hadith is authentic in Musnad Ahmad. So that is what we, in Mustadrak Hakim, not Musnad Ahmad, in Mustadrak Hakim, the hadith is mentioned there. Okay, now let's come to your question. I'm breaking it up so that will become easy for you to understand. We have our sons and daughters, mashallah, some of them they phoned in now. I asked Brother Junaid and he said there were four of them or so. Anyway, very good. So now we have our children 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. So obviously fasting is not compulsory upon them. So now they kept the fast. And then deliberately they broke it also. Say, now I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling thirsty, I want to eat. So we all started like that when we were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. So remember, in that case there is no qaza at all. Second one is this, that this son, daughter of yours is aqila, baligha, is sane and mature. But then they get some attack, they get some problems and so forth. At that time, momentarily, temporarily, they're not really in their true sense of their mind and so forth. But then they start eating, drinking, what have you. But after that, they recover. So then, in a case like that, remember, qadha will be compulsory because they're considered sane and mature. Although the temporary lapse they have, so and then they might be eating, drinking, but we will consider them as aqil baligh. Aqil baligh means sane and mature. The hadith in Abu Dawood, Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Rufi al qalamu an thalath." The pen has been removed from three people. Anisabiyi hatta yahtalim. A person who is a minor and still 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. So they are minors, so then they won't be questioned for their actions and deeds. They ma'soom, innocent like. So wanin na'imi hatta yastaqid. And a person who's fast asleep, while he's fast asleep, he's saying certain things, so that will not be valid. Wa anil majnoon hatta yufik. A person who's insane. If the insanity, Allah forbid, aliyazu billah, Allah protect us, is perpetual all the time, so they won't be questioning for that person hatta yufik, till that person recovers. But if that person goes in that insanity or this attack, that attack and so forth, but it's momentarily, it is temporary, then in that case there, remember, qadha will be compulsory.
If I break my fast intentionally, how many days do I have to keep fast for? I already missed 2 days.
Okay, let's get this situation also clear. Therefore, I repeat the question so people must understand what is tafaqquh fi deen. If you did not fast, Allah forbid, yesterday, that was Thursday, you did not fast on Wednesday, so from the start you didn't make intention, you didn't fast and all, then only 2 qaza will be compulsory upon you, but you are considered as a major, major sinner. And remember, if there's no valid excuse, then Allah Ta'ala's curse is on you. So you have to keep 2 qaza and make sincere tawbah and cry and beg Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, forgive me, in future I will never do and commit such offenses and commit such transgression. So one is to do, so because you must 2 days, so 2 days qaza after it. And with that, from today, immediately tawbah as well. That's one scenario. Second scenario is you were fasting yesterday, day for yesterday. Then you could still continue fasting. It's not a matter of life and death. You said, no, I'm feeling for a skeef. I'm feeling for a smoke now. So you went to take some smoke, 10 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever time. Or you took some juice, cold drink, you took some meal and ate something. So this is an act in Ramadan, during Ramadan, deliberately, intentionally, dida danista, so you broke your fast. So the Hanafi scholars will say that in a case like that, you have to keep one qada, that is after Eid, and 60 consecutive fasts. That 60 consecutive fasts is kafara and a penalty for desecrating the sacred month of Ramadan. So whether you ate, whether you drank, and so forth, deliberately, intentionally. That's only the Hanafi school. The Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, majority jurists and scholars say where a person was fasting and then deliberately he or she broke it and they broke it by eating, drinking, then remember only qada is compulsory and no kafara. So when will kafara be compulsory according to them, the 60 fast? Now it is Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. Husband, wife are fasting. They say, come, let's relax. It's a little bit hot, you know. Karimi lage, we're feeling a little bit hot. Then they start gravitating to one another, you see. And then they went, and then they give you a peck and a neck, and then this happened, that happened. And then the big explosion took place. They went all the way. Husband, wife, intercourse, everything. So in a case like that, then the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, Hanafis all agree there will be one qada and 60 fast kafara penalty because you desecrated the sacred month of Ramadan. So we need to understand majority scholars say kafara is only for jima. That is when there is husband-wife relationship and so forth. And Hanafis say that it's for all actions that you did deliberately, intentionally, your eating, drinking, all that will be included.
Mufti Sahib, I heard on social media the celebration of Bibi Fatima. Is this permissible?
Remember that people use the wrong words. You must know Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise took place on Monday morning, and that was on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, the 11th year of the Hijrah. Our Honorable Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, so remember she was so sad that her beloved father passed away, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, fama dhahikat qattu, for that 6 months she would not smile or anything, because she was so heartbroken. She read the poetry, subbat alayya masaibu, law annaha subbat alal ayyami sirna layya. Such a calamity, catastrophe has fallen upon me. Remember all the other beloved children of the Master alayhi salatu wasalam, all already passed away. The only one who survived after the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was she, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. So she was heartbroken. Obviously Sayyida Ali was there, her husband, to give her that moral support and so forth and so on. But she was very, very sad. Then came the month of Ramadan. It was the 3rd of Ramadan and the 11th year of the Hijrah, just about 6 months after the demise of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you are speaking about that, that is correct. So when you use the word celebrate, celebrate don't mean now you must have a party and all these things here. You must go learn the seerah and the history and the precedent she set. I quickly give you before time is get exhausted. See today when we go and bury our Muslim mothers, our Muslim daughters, sisters. So what do? We don't do this for men. We lower that female into the grave. As soon as she's taken, we put a parda, a sheet there on top. So nobody can see. This is Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. She told Sayyida Ali radiallahu anha, no male saw me, strange male, when I was alive, not my shape and form and all. When I pass away, you must give me ghusl, O my beloved husband. You must read my salatul. You must give the kafan shrouding. You must read my salatul janaza. You must take me into the grave and bury me and so forth, and make sure there's a sheet also. Look at the haya of Fatima bintu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of Sayyida Fatima. So that is what you must learn. All the akhlaq and the precedent she set for humanity and posterity. And for our ladies, 11:30 inshallah khutbah from Makkah, Sheikh Bandar Balila. I will be in Benoni, Mackenzie Park inshallah, 12:20 the lecture. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khairan wa salim kareem.